Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, let's finish up this wild ride today with a look at what's coming up in TV and cinemas this week. And I'm joined today by entertainment and culture journalist Rory Cashin and freelance culture journalist Zara Hederman. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
We start with cinema. Rory, Twister seems to be the big, dumb, fun summer blockbuster.
Oh, you've nailed it. That's perfect. Yeah, it's attracted people running away from the wind for 2 hours. So what's not to like?
Yeah.
It's a spiritual sequel to the 1996 original. I think people were hoping that it would do what Top Gun Maverick did for Top Gun, like a kind of dumb original movie coming back with cutting edge special effects and very attractive Hollywood stars. And I think it will make proper bank this weekend, like real nostalgia hit. It's not amazing, but if you have an IMAX screen nearby, or do you know of a 4DX screen, Brendan? Do you know what 4DX? So 4DX is when you sit in your seat and if there's wind on screen, there's a wind machine in the screen that hits you in the face.
No.
Or if there's rain on screen, they'll spray water.
Is there one in Dublin?
There is. There's one in Cineworld in Parnell Street.
So there might be more.
If there's fire, then fake smoke fills up the screen. Or
The
room you're in, the theatre. Yeah. And like loads of other special effects.
Yeah.
Now this one in particular, it's quite a vigorous workout because it's quite windy on screen. So any action on screen, your entire seat moves in
seats
kind of contrast with
right,
it. So
yeah, yeah.
It's
tie down the popcorn.
You'll lose half your popcorn if you're watching this in 4DX. Oh. But like this is one of those big screen experiences. So the bigger, the louder, the more movement in your screen, the better.
Okay. This was bound to happen, wasn't it, I suppose? Zara, you've gone something a bit more old school, esoteric, an indie film. I Saw the TV Glow. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the second in the Screen trilogy from director-writer Jane Schoenbrunn. The first one was We're All Going to the World's Fair, which I really loved from 2021. That focused on like online horror. This one is set in the late 90s. It's television horror set in the suburbs. It's kind of like a mumblecore vein of like telling the story as well. I was really excited for this, especially as someone who grew up in the 90s, had my TV shows like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, that I felt that I was part of that world. This one we have Owen and Maddie, who are teenagers. They're very kind of reclusive, isolated, and they share a love for this show called The Pink Opaque, which is like a stand-in for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
And then it kind of goes through the decades and we see how the film continues to like shape their lives, shape their understanding of the world around them. Now, I really wanted to love this. I found this quite a bit of a slog in terms of like the story arc of it. It's very slow moving, not a whole lot happens. And I think that was my issue. I was waiting for something. I was saying to Rory just before coming on, I think it actually warrants a second watch, and I will give it a second watch, and I will be excited for the third in this trilogy, because I think Jane Schoenbrunn has really announced themselves as a very strong visionary director. The film looks stunning.
Okay.
And they have cited David Lynch's Twin Peaks The Return as like a huge influence, and you can see that throughout the film, like it's unapologetically quite similar.
Okay, so you're
it.
Kind of saying to people, don't go and see it, but go and see it twice if you do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So bad they watched it twice.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Rory, have you seen Hundreds of Beavers?
I have. I was trying to describe this, even to Zardes before we came in. The synopsis for this makes it sound like a fever dream. So it's a almost entirely silent, wordless homage to Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin old school physical comedy, but brought in with like the modern kind of sensibilities and comedies of Jackass and Sin City and video game logic. It's about a man who's trying to win the hand of the local beautiful woman, and the only way he can do it is to kill hundreds of beavers and bring the corpses of those beavers to her father. And the beavers are full-grown men just dressed in very cheap-looking beaver costumes. So there's all these magnificent set pieces where he's trying to set up contraptions that will kind of efficiently kill the beaver problem in the area. But the beavers are super smart and they know how to get around them all, and he ends up just falling into his own traps half the time anyway. I know sometimes, Brendan, you think I can be quite hyperbolic.
Yeah.
This is one of the funniest films I've ever seen.
Is it? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah. It is bananas. The hit rate of the jokes in this movie is insane.
Really?
I haven't laughed this much in a movie in a long, long time. And it's because it so perfectly marries the kind of the old school physical comedy of Buster Keaton with the pure violence of Jackass. Like, these things look like they really hurt, but he's filmed it so beautifully. And I think the film cost like $100,000 to make. Like, it's super cheap, and it's going to be tough to find in the cinema. I think there's only a few screenings of it around the country, but it will be coming to streaming on PVOD.
Okay.
I think there is a few screenings around Ireland this coming week, so if you can find
it, seek it out.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal.
Okay. Let's do a bit of TV. Zara, The Lady on the Lake, in the Lake, on Apple TV. This is Natalie Portman's first ever TV project, I didn't realise.
Yeah.
I've watched one, I'm not sure.
I'm on a similar boat to you, yeah, and I love Natalie Portman. I'll watch her in absolutely
she's great.
Anything. She is great. And I will say that her and Moses Ingram, who plays Cleo Johnson, they are quite engaging, and they are the aspects of the show that will maybe entice me to go back for episode 3.
Yeah.
I was really shocked, I don't know if you saw this, that The Guardian gave it 5 stars.
No.
Yeah, which I was a bit confused by if they had seen the same show that I had, because I just, I felt that stylistically, it just didn't really convince me that it was like, you know, 1960s Baltimore. It just felt a bit forced. The pacing is a little bit off. Now, what I did like in some of the other reviews that I read, I haven't read the book. It's based on Laura Lippman's New York Times bestselling book from 2019. And basically, the story surrounds Natalie Portman, who plays Maddie Schwartz, who's an unfulfilled Jewish housewife. She ends up leaving her family when news comes of a young Jewish girl who goes missing. She really wants to try and find her. And her past life as like a reporter kind of comes back to her. She wants to find purpose and an identity. So I love that, like a lapsed reporter looking to solve a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Set in the 60s in Baltimore, I'm there. But
yeah,
this,
you see, it does tick all the boxes on paper.
It does. And I think that Moses Ingram as Cleo, who is, no, it's not a spoiler, she is the lady in the lake. I think that must happen in like episode 3. But her role, I have seen that people, her character has been fleshed out for the TV series. As you saw, like watching it, she's kind of narrating the show, but she's talking directly to Maddie Schwartz's character, how their lives have intertwined, how maybe Maddie Schwartz is kind of exploiting Cleo Johnson's life. Will I go back for episode 3? Maybe.
I think if you're asking, you won't. Like, there's.
Are you going to go back and watch episode 2?
You know, I'm not sure. I kind of was going to just automatically. And then, you know, sometimes you go, am I actually enjoying this? Is this actually any good? Like, why am I pursuing this, you know?
I might read the book instead.
I went back and finished off The Bear instead.
Like, oh, very good.
Yeah. And we can talk about that another time. Murray Tudor's About to Die on Prime. This is kind of being touted as the warm-up for Gladiator 2.
Yeah, this is very clever, and Prime Video's have to put this out, I think, within the same week of the Gladiator 2 trailer dropping. So, yeah, it's set in 1 CE, which apparently is the new terminology for 1 AD. That's something I learned from this show, which is good to know. Anthony Hopkins is the emperor, and he's choosing between his warrior son to potentially take over, or his more politically minded son, who might be, well, you can tell almost immediately he's much more evil than the other one. And then around that, we've got what feels like half the cast of Game of Thrones involved in the Colosseum and the betting around the chariot races. It's directed by Roland Emmerich, who's famous for directing Independence Day, The Day After Tomorrow in 2012, these big budget disaster movies. Possibly the least subtle director ever to exist in Hollywood. So you can imagine what he's bringing to this kind of show. Watching the first episode, I was like, this is trash. But I couldn't quite turn it off.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't good, but I knew it wasn't bad enough to dislike.
Is it a romp?
It's fun.
Yeah.
And brainless and expensive looking. And everyone in it, like Anthony Hopkins, you can't not, even when he's at his worst, he's still better than most people who are acting on the screen. It's fine.
So you see, the thing is, The Lady in the Lake, you're watching because you think this is the kind of thing I should be watching, but you're not actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
You're watching Those About to Die and you think this is not the kind of thing I want to watch, but you're actually enjoying it.
Yeah. This is like good trash food, whereas yours is like bad filet mignon.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Those About to Die, that's on Prime. Zara, really briefly, Elsbeth is a new spin-off from The Good Wife. So it's on Sky Now TV from Tuesday. Would you need to have been keeping up with The Good Wife and the...
I haven't seen a second of The Good Wife.
Oh, no? Yeah. Okay, and does it stand alone okay?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, Elsbeth Toscioni, who's played by Carrie Preston, she's like a former defence attorney in Chicago, but in this she's more of a kind of eccentric Columbo type who very keenly uses her nose to, like, within minutes solve a murder. Each episode, again, like Columbo, like only murders in the building, it follows, like, different kind of murders, crimes, this in like the arts. So there's one in a theatre company, a reality TV show. Initially, because maybe I wasn't familiar with the character of Elsbeth Toscioni, I was a bit like, oh, she's a bit much, she's quite over the top. But after like 15 minutes, I did start to grow to love her because I saw the parallels with Columbo. There's 10 episodes of this, and I saw that this premiered in the States in February, and it's already been renewed for season 2. So it's okay. A good, decent watch.
Elsbeth, Sky and Now, and that's from Tuesday. Rory, you wanted to make everyone aware of the passing of time with the fact that True Lies is now 30 years old. Is this another, like, one of those brainless films that we're now resurrecting as some kind of lost classic, yeah?
I'm shocked that Hollywood hasn't gone back in to either give it, a Top Gun Maverick-esque legacy sequel or just reboot it entirely. They did try to make a TV show out of it, but gave it the smallest budget imaginable, so it just didn't take off the ground at all. But, like, this was, I would argue, the last great Arnie movie, the last properly, like, fun Arnie Schwarzenegger movie. And it was the last time we saw James Cameron have any fun, because then he immediately did Titanic, and then he's just been in Avatar ever since. It's on Disney Plus, and I think to this day it's one of the better non-Bond movies that have existed, because you can. It was the first movie ever that cost $100 million, which these days is nothing.
Yeah,
it's literally not, like, that's innocent, like,
times.
That's the catering budget for some of the Marvel movies now. It's just really, really fun. If you've never seen it.
And they're making loads of ersatz kind of 90s films now. Like, this is the real deal. Like,
yeah. Yeah. If you want to go back and just revisit, or if you've never seen it, it's right there.
Okay, so it's on Disney Plus and it's out now. Zara, To the End, the fourth Blur documentary.
Yeah.
Does the world need another Blur documentary? The trailer, it does look nice.
Look, this is interesting, I think, because it comes, you know, a decade after the band have been together for the last time. They get together in Damon Albarn's very plush country, countryside home, where he has a farmhouse that's now like this big lavish studio. They eat fish pie. They eat gluten-free Victoria sponge cake while they're making their ninth album, The Ballad of Darren, which came out last year. And then the second half turns into a bit of a concert film where they're going on tour to road test the set for their Wembley shows that happened last year. And it's just them kind of going on about how their knees hurt, how they're hungover at soundcheck, why music is important to them. I find Damon Albarn and Alex James insufferable in this.
Oh, okay. So you're like watching rich guys having midlife crisis.
Yeah.
All right. So and it's into cinemas.
The last, if you are a big Blur fan, the last screening is on Wednesday in the IFI Lighthouse and Paulus. So do book your tickets first.
Okay, I'm sure it'll be streaming soon enough.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we have time for today. So thank you very much, Rory Cashin and Zara Hederman.